Amen. And then moving on from there. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars hills and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Praise God. And just for a few moments of time this morning, I want to preach about knowing the unknown God. Amen. Knowing the unknown God. We need the help of the Lord here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you just help me pray? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Savior, we praise you and magnify you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, help us here this morning, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 oh, magnify the Lord with me, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you deserve the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We lift you up and exalt you. We praise you and magnify you. We worship and adore you. Sweet Holy Ghost, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If you're going to help me here this morning, you can be seated. If not, you can be dismissed. Praise God. Hallelujah. How's that for one? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Praise God. Amen. Man has always been fascinated by the unknown. As a matter of fact, that is why that we are in the land of America, upon the continent of the North, upon the continent of North America. It is because that the unknown struck something, some chord in the mind of a man by the name of Christopher Columbus. Believing in an unknown belief that the world was not flat and that he would not sail and fall off the end at some point in time, but if he would go, that at some point he would return back to the place that he came from by a circular way. Amen. It is because of the unknown that we have the things such as cordless screw guns and all kinds of cordless tools and other things that operate via the battery. And that is because that man was not going to be confined by just this earth. But the unknown of the space, the unknown of beyond the clouds, the unknown of beyond and in the stars that they had explored with things such as the telescopes and such. And therefore, they built something that they really had no knowledge of, but built something that would be called a spaceship. And after sending some type of animal into space, they climbed into that rocket ship and began to explore the unknown. Amen. It is because of the unknown that has caused men to believe in things that were not. They began to believe in things beyond just a candle or a campfire for light, but believe that if they could somehow or another take that energy and press it into some type of glass container that it could be shown through. They began to believe in something called electricity. They began to believe in some type of way that I can communicate with you from this point across to a different point. Creating a light bulb, creating a telephone, creating printing presses, creating all kinds of things because they refuse to be captivated by the known. It is because of the unknown that scientists began to explore what has been called the medicinal world. Amen. And they began to see what kind of effects that medicines and other things would have upon the body in adverse situations. They began to explore and continue to explore what kinds of medicines have the best reactions and the best effects upon diseases that are upon the face of the world today. And it is because of that desire to know the unknown. And not just the desire to know the unknown, but just the fact that they are willing to acknowledge that there is something that I do not understand. There is something that I do not have the fullness of revelation about, but yet I know that it is there. I know that it is possible. Theories would become facts, and facts would later be found to be wrong as they did not just simply allow those things to take a familiar spot. We've been talking about the familiar things, but they began to wonder, is there more beyond this? And that's what the space world is caught up in this day, is they are not just satisfied with seeing the earth from a several thousand miles away. They're not interested in just landing upon the moon. They're not interested in just visualizing and seeing the sun and such, and knowing that there are some planets within our solar system, and knowing that they revolve around the sun. They want to know more, and therefore they're exploring life upon Mars. They are trying to get different and have gotten different Land Rovers there, and trying to bring at some point in time humans to that place. And we find this captivity, this mindset that will not be captivated by the simple known in the Athenians as they were upon Mars Hill. I submit to you today that it is because not just their superstition, but their desire to know the unknown that they called for Paul to be brought unto them. In verse number 19, the Athenians took him and brought him unto Areopagus, which just simply is the supreme court of the Athen land. And they said, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. They wanted to know the new doctrine that Paul was speaking of. It was foreign to them. It was the unknown unto them. And so Paul would take the challenge of proclaiming his new doctrine by juxtaposing it with the Athenians' unknown God. As he stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive to in all things that you are too superstitious. For I have passed by and have beheld your devotion that I found at an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. You want to know about my new doctrine, and I am going to liken this new doctrine unto your unknown God. And he began to declare unto them this unknown God. He said, the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with man's hands. But let me just go back and first explore some of these comments that Paul wrote here as he began to tell them that it is this unknown God that had made the world with his hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. As he would establish, even though that it would not be referenced, I can imagine Paul, amen, not being inhibited by time. If he'll preach till midnight and have one fall out the window, he's not going to be inhibited by time restraints today. As he began to preach to them about this unknown God, amen, as he would declare, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What better place to start than number one, in the beginning, and then to declare that it was God that created the heavens and the earth. Amen. It just is not ironic here that phrase, the unknown God, it comes from the Greek phrase, amen, agnostixa, which just simply implies agnostic. In other words, not giving credence to God, but not believing that there, let me rephrase this, not believing that there is no God, but not necessarily giving credit to God. It's just something that I don't understand, something that I do not perceive, something that I cannot wrap my mind around. Paul said, amen, let me declare this unto you. And first of all, we're going to go back to the beginning. And it was in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter number 1. Amen. Declares that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes on to state that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians chapter number 1, with this revelation, Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, and he would say, for by him, concerning Christ, he said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Paul said all things were created by him and for him. Later he would declare it to be, amen, stated like this: through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. I believe that Paul puts a proper emphasis upon this unknown God. He wants it to be known that when I'm done talking to you today, amen, not only are you going to understand my doctrine, but you're also going to understand this unknown God, and you're going to see how it is this unknown God that I am worshiping. He would later state that in the way which is called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Let's praise him today. Praise God. Amen. He let them know that the world did not need their architectural glory. Amen. Because that this unknown God would speak the worlds into existence. He let them know He let them know that this unknown God did not need their painters to begin to paint a picture of it, but this unknown God would be one that would paint the grass green and the skies blue and would develop the clouds in their wispy blue, amen, and white glory. He let them know that their unknown God, amen, that their ways did not need the poetry of the days, did not need all of this, because the one that was the greatest orator would stand and would declare, let there be light, and there was light, and speak the world into existence. He let them know, amen, that this unknown God did not need their facilitating, amen, to be able to embody and to enshrine him in some type of idol, but he let them know that this God was before time and shall be after time. He let them know that this God does not dwell in a temple that you have declared to be over here, but he now dwells, amen, in a temple that's not made with hands. Praise God. Oh, yes. Paul, they had called the right one unto Paul to begin to declare unto him the unknown God. For Paul, being a Jew from birth, he would be able to declare who that God was. Amen. He knew, amen, that by the inspired word, God was. Since his earliest boyhood days, God was. He knew God as Elohim, Adonai, and Jehovah. He knew God as Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sidkenu. He knew him as the creator and the sustainer of all life and the universe. He knew God as the rock of ages and the shepherd of Israel and the fountain of living water. But even as a Christian, Paul knew, amen, God to be the incarnate word, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Lord. No man in the world was more equipped to make known the Athenian intellectuals, amen, this unknown God more than Paul was. Amen. It was Paul that would be walking down the road of Damascus thinking to know, amen, that he was doing that which was right. His revelation of God was misconceived. His revelation of God was bent. It was construed, and when that light came down from heaven, he fell to his feet, to his knees, and began to declare, Lord, who are you? I thought that I had knowledge of who you were. I thought that I understood you. I thought that I was doing a good deed. I thought that I was on the right path. I thought that I was doing everything right, but maybe I've got something wrong here. Maybe there's two wires that are crossed and that aren't connected right. I need to know who you are. And Jesus would declare unto him, Paul, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And that unknown God revealed himself unto Paul. And that unknown God told Paul what he needed to do. Paul, you need to call for the preacher. And he went to the preacher. And the preacher told him what he needed to do. And now Paul, being a preacher, is standing before the Athenian council, and he's saying, I've got a word for you, and I'm going to declare it by your unknown God. The things, amen, that cause you consternation, the things that cause you to question and wonder, the things that has caused you to spend time upon an idol and declare, this is the unknown God. I don't know him. There's something about that I don't understand. Paul said, I'm going to declare him unto you. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ revealed himself unto me one day many years ago. Praise God. Praise God. I think that it is quite unique that Paul would speak and that he would say unto them, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Paul, where did you get this revelation? Paul said, I'm glad that you asked. Let me tell you my testimony. I happened to be at a place a while back looking at a man and knowing, hearing him. And as people began to lead him outside of the town, began to take their coats off and began to throw them into my arms, I watched this man by the name of Stephen as he began to proclaim Jesus Christ. I watched as men began to pick up rocks and ready themselves to throw at him. And I remember of when Stephen would declare, howbeit in Acts chapter number 7 and 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Paul used Stephen's words, who he used the prophet aforetime's words. And Paul would use these words because of a revelation that he got. And so today, for the next few minutes of time, I just want to preach about this unknown God. I am not here necessarily to declare that he is Adonai. I am not going to submit to you and to prove to you that he is God manifest in the flesh. I'm not going to take time to go over the oneness of God. I'm not going to take time to refute a Trinitarian doctrine. I'm not going to take time to prove to you that Jesus was the Jehovah of the Old Testament and that he was Christ, Messiah, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. I'm not going to take that time to declare that unto you. And for some, that may seem like the likely thing to do at this point in time, that if we are going to know the unknown God, that we ought to start to find out exactly who that he is. I would simply tell you this morning that I am talking to a group of people here today, that you, every single one of us, that we have a perception of who that God is. We have some type of knowledge of who that God is. We may have an intellectual level concerning who God is. We may have a divine revelation of who God is. And I am not necessarily coming to try to prove that wrong. I have simply come to declare unto all of us that our perception, our knowledge, our revelation, our intellect, whether it would be great or poor, does absolutely nothing to define who God is. I do not particularly care. On the other hand, I care a whole lot. But at this point in time, I am not interested in whom that you feel that God is. I'm not interested in what you think that God is. I'm not interested in your definition of who that God is. I'm not interested in your theological explanation of who that God is. I am here to declare that our knowledge, perception, our revelation has no meaning as to who God is. You can declare that God is 1,000, and that does not make God 1,000. You can declare that God is a man among the top 10 most strongest, that does not make God among the top 10. You can declare that God is just a figment of somebody's imagination, and that does nothing to deter who that God is. I've simply come to preach to you today as just such as the Athenians would raise an idol and would put an altar there and would say that he deserves propitiation, that he deserves some kind of sacrifice unto. We acknowledge that he is. I heard that today. Amen. Some wants to declare that God is a mystery and that we cannot understand God in the fullness thereof. But yet the Bible declares, just because somebody does not want to give their complete study, their complete zeal into understanding who God is, it does not mean that God is not defined. It does not put stipulations upon God. It does not put a fence around God. Amen. And cause God to be boxed in by your restrictions. Just because somebody would say, I've got an understanding and a definition of who that God is, you must understand that God is more than your understanding. God is more than your perception. God is more than your revelation. God is bigger than what your mind can fathom. Amen. If you were to take the minds of Albert Einstein and all of the great elites that this world has known and combine all of their intellect into one brain and come up with some artificial intelligent definition of who God is. Amen. If God began to reveal a trickle of who he really is, it would cause them to short circuit. It would cause AI to stand back and say, huh? It would cause everybody to step back and be blown away, amen, by who that God really is. And at the end, God would say, and that's not all that I am. It does not matter if you believe that God is love, amen, that does not necessarily define God. Amen, you can say God is one, and that does not capitulate God. That does not put God in a box. Yes, he is one. Yes, he is love. Yes, he is mercy. Yes, he is all of these things. But God is so much more. Amen. And that's who that God wants to reveal himself unto this world today. Just because that I am able to testify and say God is love, that does not necessarily strengthen who God is. I can stand today and I can say that God is mercy, but that does not strengthen who God is. Because whether I know he is love, whether I know that he is mercy, matters not. God is love. God is mercy. God is just. Whether you declare God to be just or not, just because that you would stand and you would say and declare, God is not just, that does not minimize who that God is. You can stand and declare, God is not fair. Amen. And whereas this may blow your minds, amen, and you may say, God is not fair. And I would stand and say, you may be absolutely correct, but that does not minimize who that God is. You say, how can you declare that God is not fair? Why are we here today? Why are we here today? Why has God allowed us to be upon a pew in a church house today when there are others that have tasted death, amen, this week and have went on to meet their maker? Why didn't they get another chance? Why do we have an opportunity that somebody else has never had? It simply is because God is God. And the fact that God is sovereign, just because I know it, does not make him stand up and inhale a chest full of air and beat his chest and say, oh, now I am sovereign. He was sovereign before the beginning. He was all powerful before I got the revelation. He was love before I knew what love was. He was mercy before I needed mercy. He was the deliverer before the children of Israel cried out and said, send us a deliverer. That wasn't God going to college so that he could learn how to be a deliverer. He already was. Amen. He was the answer before there was a question. He was the revelation before there was inspiration. He was all of this simply because he is God. And whether you understand God or whether you don't understand God, whether you have some type of minute understanding of God, or maybe you've been raised in church and feel like you've got a strong revelation of God. Amen. I believe that to a great degree it matters, because that God wants us to understand who he is. He wants his children to know that when I need a deliverer, I feel the Holy Ghost today. When I need a deliverer, I know who to call out to. It's not unknown. When I need mercy, I know where I can come to find mercy for my sin-sick soul. When I need grace, I know who I can come to. I'm here to tell you today that God wants to reveal himself unto you. God wants to show himself strong unto you. God wants to show love unto you. God wants to be merciful to you. God wants to reveal his eliteness. Amen. God wants to reveal his deity. God wants to reveal, amen, his power of the blood. God wants to reveal himself unto you, whether you believe it to be true or not. The unknown God. The unknown God, the unknown God. As much as we would like to stand and to clap our hands and to cheer on Paul as he explains the God that created the universe, the God that reached down into dirt and molded a man, breathed into him the breath of life, and created him as a living soul. As much as we want to stand and say, preach it, Paul. You're doing a great job as you're declaring unto the Athenians this unknown God, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, knows everything, everywhere at once, beyond human capacity to understand. God, I don't understand. I don't understand how that God can and would, why that God would robe himself in flesh. But that's who the Bible declares that God is. God was manifest in the flesh. Whether we believe it or don't believe it, it does not change the fact. 1 Timothy 3:16, the all-inspired word of God says, God was manifest in the flesh. Some people will say, Jesus Christ was not God. You don't have an argument with me. You have no argument with me. You have an argument with God, because God declared, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. That's what John said. God dwelt among us. And we, John, Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, and the rest of the world declared his glory, the glory that could only be that of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. Amen. This unknown God wants to reveal himself unto you. And as much as we would like to hear about love and compassion, amen, and beauty and strength and holiness and grace and mercy, amen, I just want to bring about the theme of Paul's message in this scripture today. Amen. As Paul states, amen, they say we want to hear this new doctrine. And Paul said, I'd like to take my text from out there, right there on Mars Hill, that says the unknown God. That's where we're going to start. And he begins to define unto them this unknown God. And he said that if you should seek the Lord, you may happily find him. Amen. They that feel after him and find him, because he is not far from every one of us. And Paul begins to, amen, to expound on this great revelation. Amen. He said, in him we live and move and have our being. And then he goes on and he starts talking about this doctrine. And he says the times of this ignorance in God, amen, God winked at one time. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And he said, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whom whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Can I submit to you today that the principle of Paul's message, the theme of God, Paul's message, amen, I'm going to declare this God, and I'm going to start by talking about some things here. You've got embodied the sun God and the moon God and the bull God and this God and that God and even the unknown God. I just want you to know today that this unknown God, amen, whom you say that I ignorantly worship, let me talk to you about him. He's not just one that's going to give light, amen, going to give sustenance, going to give energy, going to give strength, going to get this, because that's what you've got perceived. You got, amen, God perceived as some type of Santa Claus that just comes around and gives everything that you need, sprinkling good gifts like the snowflakes of heaven as they fall down. And as you open your mouth and cause one flake to touch your tongue and to feel the exuberant coldness as it comes and courses through your body, I'm here to declare today to tell you that God, amen, can do all of these things. But there is something that you're not taking into consideration, and that is, at some point in time, God is going to come. This unknown God, he is going to come, and he's going to judge the secrets of man. He is going to judge in righteousness. He is going to cause all things and all men to stand before the judgment throne of God. Let's love him today. Praise God. Praise God. Paul would declare in his epistles that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the good things. But he also declared that there was coming a time that he could do all the great things, the abundant things of what we could think positively. But that doesn't stop just because our definition of God stops there. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all things, good things and bad things, the things that nobody wants to talk about, the things that everybody wants to skirt, the things that everybody wants to shun, the things that everybody wants to stand up and declare. The Bible says that we're not to judge. I'm glad that you know that. But there's some things that you don't know. Whether you have chosen to know or whether you have chosen to not know does not diminish who that God is. It does not put God in a box if all that you can think of concerning God is good. I understand, acknowledge, and proclaim that He came to this world not to condemn this world, but through Him people might be saved. And I believe that is still the gospel message of this day and time, that we are living in a dimension of grace, that we are living in a time that grace would abound. And where sin has abounded, grace did and has much more abounded. The grace of God supersedes my wildest imagination. If you would be honest enough to walk this walk with me, you would confess and say on several different occasions, I don't know why God ever let me live. You would say, I don't know why God ever had mercy on me. You may look at others and not trying to be God, but just trying to understand God. You would say, I don't know why God didn't judge that already. But just because our mind has some small dimensional revelation of who God is, it does not completely confine God. And so God will do things that mesmerizes humanity. God will do things that confounds Christianity. God will do things that confound the religious world. God will do things that would even cause the church to step back and to shake their heads and say, wow. I've been in services where the fear of God was so strong and so prevalent. I felt like, amen, the God that stepped into Paul's court or Peter's court on the day of Ananias and Sapphira had stepped down from his throne and was walking among the people. I almost literally expected people to fall over dead. And some people would say, wow, you must not have a knowledge and a revelation of who that God is. I could also talk to you about people that I thought should have had another chance, but somewhere between from one service to another service, they slipped off into eternity because God said that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And where I thought they may should have been given another opportunity, God cut the string. I can talk to you about a young lady who was a prayer warrior, about somebody that knew how and what the prayer room was, and that would be in the prayer room and prayed diligently. I can talk to you about her commitment and life to God. I can talk to you about the revelation and the testimony that she had. I can talk to you about the faithfulness that she had to God. I could talk to you, amen, about her faithfulness to God in all things, and that she was faithful in Sunday school, amen, in outreach, in bus ministry, in picking up the elderly. She gave herself unto every aspect of the church. But I can also tell you the day that her soul grew cold and she walked out of the church, never to return again. And I can tell you the day, maybe not the day, but I remember the time that my mother texted me concerning this young lady, and that how that she had climbed on the back of a motorcycle and flying down the streets of Austin, Texas. A man met her end in a devastating, fatal wreck, and she slipped off into eternity. And why that God would not call into account all of the good things that she had done, I may never have any perception and understanding of. And at the same time, I'm not saying that God did not. I don't know the times that God walked to her door and began to knock and to see if she would answer. I do not know the time that God would visit her in her dreams, compelling her to come back to him. I do not know the times that her sister and those that would have been in church, amen, would have reached out to her and said, you need to come back to church. I do not know the times that she may have thought in her mind, I think I'll go to church this Sunday. But somewhere in all of this, as Paul would say, this unknown God, whether you want to declare it or not, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to embrace it or not, this God is going to come and he's going to judge the world in righteousness. I'm getting ready to close this morning, but I feel like I'm preaching to your unknown God. Your unknown God. The God that you have chose to put into your little box. Goodness. Love. Mercy. Faithfulness. I don't know what that is. Whether you want to admit that God is judgment or not, does not diminish who that God is. And when God comes walking up to your door to knock on it, you better be ready to answer. And instead of opening the door and saying, I don't acknowledge you, and shutting the door because faithfulness. Strength, victory, conqueror, deliverer. I don't like that. It matters not. Athens, just because you don't know who God is doesn't diminish God. Just because you're not willing to give yourself to know who God is doesn't diminish God. Just because that you refuse to acknowledge that God is the giver and the taker of life, the sovereign and the judge, does not diminish who that he is. And I feel in the Holy Ghost this morning, I've been stirred in my spirit for several days, but I feel in the Holy Ghost today that some of you have got God in your box. And here's what you're doing with God. I got this little thing that nobody knows about, And I'm just going to hide it in grace and goodness and faithfulness. I know that preacher thinks that God is judge, but I'm not going to accept that God's going to judge me for what I'm doing because I don't feel that it's very wrong. I don't feel that there's anything wrong with it. I think that it's okay. Your knowledge of who God is or who God isn't doesn't diminish who that God really is. And because the judgment doesn't come speedily, because that judgment doesn't walk down to your door and strike you dead, because that lightning doesn't flash as soon as you step out. Well, I think that I'm going to go do this. Well, maybe I won't. Yeah, thank you, God. Well, I think that I'm going to go listen to all of this music and stuff, and nobody's going to know it because nobody's around, and it's all in my headphones and stuff. Nobody's going to know it. Whoa, okay. Delete, 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 delete. Well, I'm going to have communications with this one. I don't believe it's so wrong. Because that God doesn't come down and knock you on your face and rip your job away from you and put you back in the land of poverty. You've got this revelation that God is no longer a judge. You've got this revelation that for some reason or another, God's looking beyond your sin. Paul was simply stating, whether you choose to acknowledge him or not, he's coming. And he's going to judge in righteousness. Say, oh yeah, he's going to judge in righteousness. You know what that means? What's right and what's wrong. And your definition of right and wrong is not going to be held in account that day. Right and wrong is defined right here. Right and wrong says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Right and wrong says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's right and wrong. And just because you can sneak around and do it and get away with it does not diminish God's role as a judge. As we stand here today, I'll openly confess to you and tell you I had no idea what I was preaching today. I got in here and began to pray, began to seek God, and nothing would come. And right the moment that I declared, I'm going to go to the office and look for something, God dropped this in my heart. And at 9:05, I put the first notes on paper. I finished my notes probably 20 or 30 minutes ago. But God just came to tell somebody. He sees everything. The things that are done and open. He declared, he said somewhere, he said in the Old Testament, he said, the things that you do in secret are going to be shouted from the rooftops. Just because you've got this small knowledge of who God is or isn't, it doesn't diminish who he is. God is God. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. You don't like to think about hell. You don't like to acknowledge hell. You don't like to consider eternity in a lake of fire because your mindset of who God is doesn't reach that. How can? It doesn't matter if we can understand it or not. And you may have this thought, how can God send anybody to hell? The answer is he doesn't. He doesn't. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, David said. It tells me, it shows me what I need to do. And if you don't want to do it, God's not going to force you to do it. You can go to hell. God won't stop you. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to discard and push into the closet every message that you've ever heard about it. You're going to step over grace. You're going to walk around mercy. You're going to shun every time that somebody talked to you. You're going to turn your back and you're going to cover your ears every time God comes to deal with you, because it's not God's will that any should perish. You're going to have to harden your heart. You're going to have to fold and cross your arms. You're going to have to listen to the calls of the world over the cries of the church in order to go to hell. And you know, probably the most dreaded thing about it all is that as you go to hell, every once in a while you're going to turn and glance behind you, and you're going to see these footprints, these red footprints. And you're going to realize they're yours. Those are your footprints. Because you're going to have to walk through the blood of Jesus. God said, I shed my blood so that you don't have to go. You're going to have to trample on the blood of Jesus in order to go to hell. Preacher, that's not what we like to hear about. We don't like to hear about messages like this. We don't like to hear judgment. We don't like to hear those. That's why you don't hear messages on hell anymore. You know why? Because church has become the self-motivation place. Preachers nowadays are more interested in money in their pocket and more interested in being inspirational speakers than telling somebody you're going to hell if you don't change. You have opened a door and you're going to lead your family to hell if you don't change. Nobody wants to hear that. Paul would state, have I become your enemy because that I tell you the truth? He said, I'm telling you right now. This unknown God who you have no knowledge of, whether you choose to have no knowledge of or whether you're trying to have knowledge. If you're trying to have knowledge of it, I'm declaring him to you today. But if you're sitting there with your ears, your finger in your ears, because you don't want knowledge, I'm just simply telling you today, that's not going to stop it. He said, that God, whether you know him or you don't know him, he's coming and he's going to judge in righteousness. And he would give his altar call like he would give several times. And Felix would say, and Agrippa would say, you almost persuaded me. When I have a more convenient season, when I decide, when I decide to do, then I will. Agrippa never called for Paul. Felix never found a convenient season. They never have it. Because God is God, whether you declare it or you don't. And He is going to judge in righteousness. You young people, 14, 15, 16, 19, 20, 22, however old that you are, don't think that because that you're just a teenager, just in your early 20s, that you've got all of your life ahead of you. Right. You can go to the graveyard today and you can find numerous graves. You say, you're trying to scare me, preacher? Not at all, because if I scare you in, somebody will scare you out. It was just sometime last year that all of Augusta was up in arms because some 20-year-old young lady had went off an embankment down there in the river, and they were searching for her. She's got all of her life ahead of her, doesn't she? A couple of days later, they find her body floating down the river. And just as the proverbial balloons pop next, you're not going to put them together and put more air in it. It's over. It's done. And so I open up the altars for you today. Would you come? Come on, it's time to make some things right. This isn't a play game. This isn't a time where we play around with God. This isn't a time where we decide. Well, God really doesn't care, does He? Or is that your revelation of Him? I have a lot of revelations of God. And I would tell you today that my revelations stand the same scrutiny that your revelations do. And if my revelation is wrong, that could be eternal consequences upon it. I must know Him. God doesn't care. It's no big deal, does it? Is it really? You've got one shot. You've got one chance. What are you going to do with it? Talking to the unknown God of your life, the dimensions that you do not know of, the dimensions that you've got fenced around. Your revelation of God does not improve Him, disqualify Him, or diminish Him. I must know Him. Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. I've got to know Him. I've got to know what's good and bad. I've got to know what's right and what's wrong. I've got to know. I've got to know. I've got to know. Would you cry out to the Lord today? Come on, cry out to the Lord here this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's some things that you need to put upon an altar this morning. There's some things that you need to sacrifice to that unknown God in your life. You say, oh, I know Him, Pastor. I know Him. I know Him. I know Him. Amen. You need to put those things on an altar today because you know it's not right. You know it's wrong. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Just because it's known or it doesn't, or it's not known, amen, doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Come on. It's time. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.